Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line. With a death wish, be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to Hour 2. Michael Carroll will join us in about 20 minutes. He is host of Comicast. And despite a character death on Daredevil Born Again, the Michael Carroll Comicast podcast hosted by Carroll and Zhang Li will go on.
Thank you.
Just to let you know. But I'm sorry for your loss, Daredevil.
It sucks, Daredevil. You know, Matt, can I call you Matt? Loss affects everyone. And it's all something we go through.
And it'll affect all of us the same way at some point. Mm-hmm. But before that happens, listen to Michael Carroll and Zhang Li on Comicast. Okay. That's how dumb Jerrymon sounds, by the way. That's how, and unfortunately, that's a real-life situation, not a fictional one, and he sounded as dumb as he did.
Some guy in a comic book show died.
Yeah. And it sounds stupid to say what we did. It definitely sounds dumb to say what he did. All right. Well, let's get to this. I said we would. It's not a closing of the loop, as Sean said, because the people in Florida are going to continue to talk about how they don't want spring breakers ruining their cities. We played the sound from the Volusia County Sheriff a couple weeks ago now where he said, hey, we don't even want you here. You guys don't even provide any economic benefit to the town. Stay away. That's what our choice would be. Well, we're going to hear from the mayor of Miami and the governor of the state, Ron DeSantis, on their thoughts on people going down there and messing with their city. Hey, Texas, go to Corpus Christi. It's a fine place. Don't go to Florida. They don't even want you there. I don't sit on the welcoming committee for Corpus Christi, but I'm just saying, I haven't heard anyone from Corpus go, hey, we don't even want you down here. I think they would welcome you to their town.
Yeah, come see Cam Smith play.
That too. Or take a flight to Houston because it feels like Cam. Oh, by the way, that's the thing. I didn't even clean it up. Channel Rome says because of a potential Christian Walker injury, that's an avenue for Cam Smith to make the roster. So even despite what he's doing hitting, I don't think a lot of people down there believe he's making the opening day roster unless an injury forces the Astros' hand. We will see. It's early, but if he continues to hit, maybe nothing's going to keep him off that opening day roster. But right now, a Christian Walker absence could help that cause. All right, we're going to hear a news reporter. You're going to hear some Ron DeSantis, and then you'll hear the mayor of Miami telling people to, hey, shape up or we're going to ship you out.
Big weekend in the spring break season. Governor Ron DeSantis now pledging law and order as he directs state support to Miami Beach. CBS's Miami's Maribel Rodriguez is live on the beach with a boost in security. Maribel.
Well, Jim, let's face it, Miami Beach did not have the best reputation when it came to spring break. Well, thankfully, that's all changing due to hard work from city officials and also law enforcement. Well, in just a few days, Miami Beach will be packed with spring breakers from all over the country. And officials are saying if you want to come here to play, you better follow the rules.
We can't have things just descend into madness and mayhem and chaos
And it hurt businesses when that happened. It hurts residents' quality of life. And there's just a lot of negatives that came from that.
Governor Ron DeSantis paying a visit to Miami Beach just as the peak of spring break season is upon us.
So you guys are here for spring break. Where from?
From Michigan.
Detroit.
And how has it been so far?
It's been great.
Miami Beach officials have spent the last 2 years cracking down on spring break crowds, making the city more expensive and less attractive to younger visitors.
Our residents don't want the chaos. Our businesses, it hurts our businesses when we have that. The headlines are awful. Last year we cleaned it up. Everybody succeeded. No fatalities, no shootings. Our businesses were, for the most part, doing really well last year.
That's the
and
mayor.
They're hoping to see a repeat this year.
They won because no one died. And that's what they're looking for again. So if you're going down there, don't plan on killing anyone. But if you do kill someone, life does go on. And so does the Draymond Green podcast with Baron Davis. I'm telling you guys, the state of Florida doesn't want you. So if your kids are making plans for a trip, tell them to stay in the state. Or, you know, maybe you want to send them to the Bahamas or something, whatever it might be. But don't send them to Florida. They ain't got time for your ass.
I don't really understand why they're so anti spring break.
They don't help businesses and they wreck stuff. You heard them. No murders when we cracked down last time.
I have a hard time believing that they don't those people aren't spending money. Like even just like the hotel rooms. Like who's buying the hotel rooms?
That part of it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Them saying that, I get. Hey, you guys are you guys are a menace and crime picks up when you're down here. But I feel like the bars would like, excuse me.
Yeah. Imagine if every sports bar in America was like, hey, we know March Madness is coming up. Don't come here.
Don't bring your riffraff here.
No.
You don't even help.
You spill things.
You don't help us economically anyway. Yeah. I know you're.
You make the tables dirty with all the food you're eating.
Yeah, I know you spill the beer that you bought from us on the floor, and that would make some sense. Hey, at least you bought beer. You might buy some more because you spilled some. We don't want you down here. We don't want you on our sports bar. Seems like the antithesis of what the businesses want, but apparently the people go down there are too rowdy for their own good.
It's probably just the locals, and that's why the locals probably hate it, and that's why the politicians are.
In a later part of that clip, he does mention how the locals don't enjoy when people come down there, and that makes sense. But maybe relax on the rhetoric. We will see.
They're at war.
With the spring breakers.
With 21-year-olds.
And who likes a 21-year-old anyway?
That is true. I'm on their side with that.
Understood.
No one wants you here.
I don't agree with that. I think that's a lie. I think the residents I think the residents who don't make their money off of, you know, tourists.
Yeah.
Maybe don't want them.
The people that just have a 9-to-5.
Yeah. But I do think the bar owners vote too. So perhaps don't piss them off. But hey, more for Corpus, more for Galveston, right?
South Padre. Let's go.
We win. Like I said, I don't think the people down there are telling everyone not to come. Willie T, we see you. You want to talk Rockets. Anyone else want to get in? You can. 713-780-3776. And frankly, I just want to hear rhetoric from politicians talk about how they don't want money coming into their town. So if Florida wants to keep doing it, I probably will play it. But I do really love, hey, we don't even want you here. All right, man. I was just coming for a good time, but I guess not. We'll hear from Willie T. When we come back. But before I do that, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. Speaking of spring and spring break, it's a great time to go to Monument Chevrolet because they have spring savings on the Chevy Silverado 1500s. What I mean by that is if you go down there and check out the inventory, you're going to get the prices that their employees do. It's employee pricing for those Silverado 1500s. So that means great prices, discounts. You should take advantage if you're looking for that type of vehicle. And of course, if you want something else, check out the entire inventory at monumentchevrolet.com. Once you go there, you're going to see those prices and then head on out there to the lot in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And the best part about it, once you see those prices on the website, the prices don't change when you get out there. There are no hidden fees, no upcharges. They want you to be part of the family. They're going to treat you like family. And what that means is they're not going to mess with you. They're going to make it a quick and easy process to get a vehicle, and they're going to get you in the right vehicle for you. And remember this, they're a one-stop shop. If you need service on a vehicle, they'll do that for you too. The people in the service department have been there for years. They know the names of the people who bring the cars in. They want you to be a part of that as well. Check everything they have. as far as inventory is concerned, at monumentchevrolet.com. Then go on out there and remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Sean, hit the horn. Shaq Mason has been informed that he will be released by the Texans, so... We talked about the Christian Kirk addition and how that would affect cap space. The Texans, even though the league year hasn't officially started, so that's why they can be in the situation. They're currently over the cap, according to Over the Cap. Now, with the Shaq Mason release, we will see how far under they are. Those official numbers won't matter until, March 12th? But so you are now without a starting guard who didn't play particularly well anyway on a line that didn't play particularly well. But that is now a hole that needs to be replaced. I don't think there's a real internal candidate you can lean on right now. We will see how they address that, whether it be through my less preferred choice to draft, or do they spend some money to go get an established veteran, even if he isn't a top-of-the-line player at that position. Tytus Howard right now is being paid like a top-of-the-line player. Maybe the Texans don't have the appetite to pay two guards that type of money. It happens when you pay him reasonable but maybe too much right tackle money and then have to move him. So there it is. One of the more predictable moves has been made. There was a thought of maybe restructuring Shaq Mason, but instead the Texans release him and they move forward from that. Okay, let's get to Willie T. He wants to talk about the Rockets. What's up, Willie T?
Hey, good morning, Dale. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Not bad. I can't call, long-time listener. It's been a while since I called in. Before I get to the Rockets.
Can we talk about going into your trap and taking over your trap? What Fulham did to Man U? Can we talk about that? No, I'm kidding.
You know what? Yeah, I did. And the worst part is, the day who I want the most on my team from your team had the decisive penalty, so that was great. Yeah. And Anthony Robinson.
You leave Anthony Robinson alone. You leave him alone, but go ahead.
Hey, now we coming for him this summer, so you better get ready.
I know.
Get your Man United jersey ready.
No chance.
I wanted to say, since y'all beat us, you think y'all got a chance to win the FA Cup, or was that just a one-off? Because as you noticed, a couple of the other top six teams are out as well. So, you think y'all got a chance?
I think we have a chance definitely to make the semis. We got a home game against Crystal Palace. Thankfully, Man City's, we won't see Man City in a quarterfinal. I think as long as we don't see Man City in a semifinal, I think they got a chance to make their first cup final in a very long time. If Man City's on the side, I'm not going to take like our chances, even though they haven't played well. But a favorable draw, at least, I like. But we'll see. You asked something about the Rockets?
Yeah. So, I am actually, it's more actually about the Pelicans. So I'm taking my daughter tomorrow to the Barbie game tomorrow night, Toyota Center. And when I bought the tickets a week ago, when I realized it was the Pelicans, I've been sweating it because you know how you hear stories all the time like, oh, I traveled halfway across the world to see LeBron or Steph or whoever play and they sat out, load management or they were injured. So I've been sweating it for the past week and a half since I bought these tickets. I've been checking every box score. I'm like, Zion, please stay healthy. And granted, I'm going to see the Rockets. It's going to be great to see the young boys in action in person. But I'm like, man, I get to see Zion too. So I've been sweating it. And last night, come down awkward, but I almost lost my stuff. But now he's good to go. It's going to be a great game tomorrow night. Shout out the Rockets. Shout out my baby girl, Malia. I love you. Pops, I know you listening. Shout out to you as well. And you guys have a great weekend. Sean and Meeks, what do you do, baby?
Thanks, Willie T. Hopefully it works out. And that's one of the things about the NBA that people, I get this complaint. You're buying tickets, predicting and hoping that even if you want your team to win, part of it, if you're only going to one or two games a year, you're picking the game specifically because of a player, you want that player to be there. And Zion has not been available for a lot of road games in his career. Looks like you're going to get the opportunity to go see him, which is pretty cool. He is a remarkable player to watch when he's out there on the floor. And, no, that's two straight games I've seen Zion survive. So hopefully he gets to a third for Willie T's sake and his daughter's sake. Hopefully you guys have a good time out there.
I'm glad Zion Williamson survived playing a basketball.
But if he hadn't survived, life goes on.
Sucks.
And so does the Draymond Green podcast with Baron Davis. Yeah. Yes. If he hadn't survived last night. We all have to face that at some point, right, Sean?
Mm-hmm. We do. We do have to look bravely in the face of death itself. And until then, the good news is that we have life, and a part of life
is listening
to the Draymond Green Show with Baron Davis.
And you can find that wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wherever you listen.
I'm sure there are clips on YouTube as well.
I'm sure there are.
And speaking,
I'm sure there are clips on YouTube of him saying Cat's ducking Jimmy Butler.
Definitely.
Ignoring the fact that Cat already played Jimmy Butler this year.
Now, you brought it back, and it infuriates me. I know we should move on. Why would this game be the one that he's ducking? Why? He has played him while he was still a Wolf. He has played him while Jimmy was a Sixer. Jimmy was a Heat for 5+ years. But this one, with Golden State coming to town in his building, was the one he didn't want to play. Is he insane? Is Draymond... Is there no... Nobody... Sorry. Draymond was told. I can't blame Draymond, remember? Yeah. But some critical analysis. He's played against Jimmy before, right? Why would this one be the time he doesn't want to play him? Can you tell me that, and maybe then I'll take it to my podcast that features Baron Davis? What?
A lot of Baron Davis love.
Great player at UCLA.
I will say, though, and we'll get out relatively soon to get to Michael Carroll. This does show me that Draymond Green is actually ready for his post-playing career. Looking at the state of NBA pundits and former players, this weird petty beef and being loud wrong and then not admitting that you're loud wrong and being loud and wrong about your non-apology. He's ready to slide onto a desk on TNT or ESPN tomorrow.
Yeah, whenever Steph decides to take off the Draymond Green backpack and retire, stops carrying Draymond to relevance, whenever that happens, Draymond can find relevance talking about the game of basketball. He's right on track to be one of those guys, just saying ridiculous things and then not owning up to them, and then promoting the thing where you said the ridiculous thing on. Perfect.
On a day where Stephen A. Smith doesn't want to talk about the LeBron James, so he can't talk about it. But since it went viral, he will be talking about it on First Take and on the Stephen A. Smith Show.
And Kevin Love, a guy who's had a pretty good run during the Jimmy Butler's saga.
Great Twitter fingers.
Pretty much said what you said. You had to talk about it?
You don't want to talk about
it. You don't want to talk about it? You wouldn't have talked about it even if it didn't go viral? And all of those questions were followed by LOL as he quote tweeted the initial Stephen A. Smith tweet. I did just see Michael walk by. He'll join us in a couple minutes.
Yeah, he's getting impatient. He's
antsy,
he's
I think.
Trying to passive-aggressively tell us to go to break.
He has to answer for his trashing of Kate Hudson's show as it gets a season two. Running point gets a season two after the harsh words by Michael Carroll.
He heard it sucked in his defense.
He read it. He read and heard it sucked in this case. And it may very well not be great, but don't tell it to Netflix, as they have extended it and renewed it for a season two. Kate Hudson, marketable. Who could have predicted? Okay, we'll hear from Michael Carroll when we come back.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Some guy is here.
I feel attacked.
He's preparing to answer for his crimes.
I don't have any crimes.
They're more verbal crimes.
I need a lawyer.
Maybe microaggressions is the word we use now.
I don't have any aggressions.
Microaggressions.
Micro, not full-on aggressions. Microaggressions.
I feel attacked.
I'm just saying.
Well, we're just speaking truth of power. And and Michael Carroll is here with us, host of Comicast. He does that show with John Lee. And if you want to listen to it right now, you can. The newest issue is on the first two episodes of Daredevil Born Again. It is a spoilery review, so watch the show first and then hear a couple of guys who know what they're talking about. Break it down. And, of course, I hear a call right now. If you want to get in and ask Michael a question, you can, 713-780-3776. So two episodes came out this week. So without the spoilers, if people haven't seen it, as I said, watch, then listen to Michael on Comicast. What were your thoughts on Daredevil coming back?
I thought it was a strong debut. It's weird because when I was writing it up for the what to watch this weekend for folks who haven't seen it, it's releasing on Tuesdays. I guess I'll write it as a season one, but it's really just season four of Daredevil, just a different, you know, telling of it in a way. But it is a solid start. I had problems with the opening action sequence,
okay,
just in terms of how they presented it, mm-hmm, and some of the CG looking rubbery.
They hid things with darkness, kind of.
Darkness and smoke.
Yes.
So I'm never a fan of that type of stuff. But for what it, when it got into the character, the world building, all that stuff, the diner scene between Fisk and Matt, strong. Like, that's where it's strongest at, I think.
I would agree. And it's been a, maybe you want to call it a problem for the Marvel TV shows where they lean into some of the action where they aren't really budget-wise to produce things that look great. But if you can give me, and I can look past that stuff if you're going to give me conversations that, yeah, matter, that push the story forward in a meaningful way. And the tension between the two characters, if you've seen the first three seasons of Daredevil?
Yeah.
The first three seasons of Daredevil, the tension between Wilson Fisk and Matt Murdock, otherwise known as Kingpin, and Daredevil, it's great. Even when they're not in their Kingpin and Daredevil roles, they're still those same guys. And watching those guys have a conversation of the unsaid stuff and the fake politeness going on as they try to maneuver in new roles in their lives was
good. Not entirely unpleasant to see, yeah, you, Wilson Fisk says. No, like they propel that show, and you know their dynamic is just so well done at this point, and because they've worked so long together, yeah, but also a lot of the new side characters that they've introduced, from Cherry to Kirsten to McDuffie, the lawyer that he's working with, mm-hmm, just different ones that they've introduced. Heather Glenn, I think a lot of them have been strong additions to the grouping, to the cast.
Yeah.
So it's good. I know Jong was upset with, I shouldn't say upset, he didn't care for some of the way things were shot. He had a complaint when it came to like color grading and just aesthetics of the show, because at certain moments, it, like, to me, the lighting felt a little off.
I would agree.
But for what it was in terms of script and, again, world building, character building, all that type of stuff, I think it's strong. And it's one of the better shows so far, even though it's only two episodes in. And when it comes to Marvel Disney Plus shows, where it feels like a actual show with layered subplots and everything, whereas other Marvel Disney Plus shows have been more like vehicles to propel these characters, this one actually feels like a show that will go on for a couple of seasons.
I would agree. And while we have not seen Jon Bernthal's Punisher yet, if you look closely enough, and of course, if you've seen the screenshots on the internet, you see the Punisher's influence on a certain, mm-hmm, governmental group.
Yes.
And yeah, so we will see how that plays out going forward.
That last fight scene, though, that's where it was like, oh, yeah,
yeah,
I'm hooked. I'm definitely hooked in. Because what it meant, not only for just that moment, but what it meant for Matt is how you do action the right way.
I would
agree. And because there was story behind that. And there's story behind the first action sequence. I don't want to discredit that, because there's a whole angle to that fight scene that is happening that Daredevil's listening to, and just a showcase of his powers is really well done. But the last scene, there is story behind each punch, I think, and it makes it stronger.
And if I wonder how that fight scene, the first one, plays, if you were just getting in on Daredevil, you did not watch the first three seasons, would you need an explanation for what is happening?
Yeah.
You know the people in it are close to Matt, but why the person who initiates this is doing it. I wonder if you had not seen any of it and you're, hey, I heard this Daredevil thing has a good good cast and I want to see it. I wonder how that would play to people who had not seen the first two seasons.
Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder how people kind of take that, because I also don't think the character that attacks, I think there's more to that than what – I don't think it's just simple revenge. I think there's more to it than what has been shown.
And we'll see how much is shown over the course, well, I guess of the next two seasons. I think it's already
– Yeah, they've already started shooting season two. Matthew Lillard has been cast for season two, which curious about who he's going to be playing next season. But, yeah, it looks like we're on track.
Ghostface. They're bringing Ghostface to Ghostface, the MCU.
But it looks like we're on track to get season two next year.
Yeah, so that's exciting. Let's get to Eric before we move on. I said if you want to call in and ask Michael a question, you can. Eric, before you talk, maybe not ask another Toxic Avenger question. Because I think
we got to the bottom of it.
He asked me again this week, so I'm not sure. Maybe that's what he loves and that's what he wants to talk about. But what's up, Eric?
Hey, Dell, Mike. Michael. Yeah, Dell seems to think Toxic Avenger is going to come out on streaming, but I think it's going to come out in theatrical release. What's your take on that? And also, I heard they're making a reboot of Kabuki Man NYPD. And when is the TV series Alien Earth coming out? I heard it's coming out on Hulu. Mm-hmm. I'm going to listen.
The Hulu Alien Earth, that comes out this summer. I believe it's June that's coming out. Toxic Avenger, I think from what I remember when we searched it last time, it is looking for a distributor, and I think it'll be a theater release.
Okay.
Maybe limited, but I think it'll be a theater release. At what point, you know, who knows? What was the other thing? The
I think it's called, he said Kabuki Man NYPD. I think it's called Sergeant Kabuki Man NYPD. It came out back in 1990.
Ah.
I have not heard of this ever before. I don't know.
Got to be honest. First time I've heard of it as well.
It doesn't feel like, considering the imagery from it, that this has any chance of being rebooted. Just feels like stuff that looks unlikely. That's all.
IP is IP, though.
I mean,
some
companies are sitting there with this in a warehouse, being like, I don't know, if we put Glenn Powell in this, I don't know.
Where's that Chris Pratt?
Yeah, Chris. Actually, yeah, this is more Chris Pratt.
Do you think
that was disrespectful?
Do you think Glenn Powell or Chris Pratt was signed up to be Sergeant Kabuki Man?
You know what? Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Never mind.
That's what I thought.
They need to reimagine it a little for.
They have to reimagine a lot.
Current climate.
Perhaps changing the name entirely. Perhaps. So, Eric, you got your Toxic Avenger thing, and you got your Sergeant Kabuki Man thing, and I feel like maybe you'll get your Toxic Avenger in theaters. Sergeant Kabuki Man, I don't see a reboot coming. I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't. No, not probably not. Not no. for a while.
No, no.
Or ever.
Or ever.
Or ever. I'm just saying. Just saying.
Okay. So, thank you, Eric. Anyone else want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776. So, while we talked about something that is already out, and there are other things that you can enjoy, I watched the latest episode of Severance. Reacher is still out there. We've got Invincible out there.
We got Running Point that's still out there that I did watch the first two episodes of before the slander continues.
Okay. And what do you think?
What did you think of it?
I didn't like it.
So, you disagree with Netflix and the viewing public.
There was a couple of moments that I kind of chuckled.
He laughed.
I laughed. But it's just like, this is just not my style of comedy. Also, this is such a...
Women can't be funny.
No. That's not what I said.
We better leave Michael alone.
The one thing that bothers me about the show, and it's such a stupid thing. It's based off Jeannie Buss's story. It's like a comedic telling of that to a certain extent. But, you know, it's basketball themed, right? The point guard is this just giant man. And I was like, that's not a point guard. There's no way that this giant, he just looks like a bodybuilder or something like that. And it's just like, how do you cast that guy as the point guard? That just bothered me.
How do you put Chet Hanks in a jersey and tell him to go play basketball?
Yeah,
on
that
the
just
show?
Bothered me.
Oh, they did that?
Chet Hanks is in there as well.
It looks so dumb. It just frustrates me to no end that it's...
Yeah, Chet Hanks looks nothing like a basketball... I don't even know if you're talking about Chet Hanks as a guy, but Chet Hanks in a basketball jersey, this is not a basketball player.
No, that's not a... Exactly. That's not a basketball player.
It's not the tattoos or anything. That's not the body type of a professional basketball player.
And especially if you're like, he's our star point guard.
Oh, he is the point guard?
He's the point guard.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's like even more like, that's not a... did y'all watch basketball? Like, that's not a point guard.
And this guy looks like he's getting ready for an underhand free throw attempt. I'm not sure that's what happens in the show.
Oh, that's the elite player, Marcus something. He, okay. I forget the rest of his deal, but he apparently doesn't want to meet with Kate Hudson's character, Isla Gordon. He only sends his bodyguard slash manager to conserve energy, apparently.
Not his agent?
No, not his agent. His bodyguard and social media manager.
Yeah, you're right. From I don't know if you're ripping this show and giving us wrong facts, but
that's true.
It does sound stupid. I will say that, but I did not watch, so I don't know if somehow the stupidity plays. It plays enough to get a season two.
That's it played fun. Enough. It's short, like 30-minute episodes.
Oh, 30-minute episodes?
Yeah, 30-minute episodes is short, but I don't know. It's
see my guy Chet Hanks? Yeah, come
on. The writing, like, it's not only Mindy Kaling, but it's Ike Barinholtz, and I forget who else, but it's just
we
like...
we know. You don't like the new telling of Velma, too. We get it.
I don't. I don't. Speaking of, did you see the Powerpuff leaked trailer?
I saw enough of it to know they were right to not make that a thing.
Did you see it, Sean?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it.
I saw the whole thing.
I like Chloe Bennett. She was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cool with that. But I was never going to watch that show anyway, but I get why it got buried before they could actually take a real
hit. But it reminded me of Velma in that it's like you take your IP and mm-hmm. you hate that IP and just want to destroy it. That's what it felt like. It just was like, what is
like
happening?
Like you thought
right
everything
now?
About something that was successful for a very long time is wrong and you try to change it.
Yeah, and I'm not like the biggest Powerpuff Girl stan.
We'll see. Right here. We haven't seen your bedroom. We don't know.
I gotta take those.
What kind of plushes do you have?
Yeah.
Shut up. Don't worry about it.
Where are all those Funko Pops? Where are you hiding them?
Oh, they're not hidden. Okay.
they're out
displayed.
They're out for everyone to see.
Yeah,
that's right.
Thank you.
Okay, my bad.
But yeah, it just reminded me of that. Just reminded me some IP. I don't know. But yeah. It's
okay,
not great.
We did two things, one that didn't really even exist, another thing you wish didn't exist. What do you hope for people to watch, if there's anything?
Well, going on that trend, another one probably people shouldn't watch.
Okay.
In the Lost Lands, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, mm-hmm. Starring Dave Bautista and Mila Jovovich.
Of course, he has to put his wife in the project.
Don't watch that. 17% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. Could be lower by the time you go actually see this movie.
Oh, they put it in a theater.
Oh, yeah. It's a wide release.
They put this in theater.
It's an original story by George R.R. Martin. This is what he's up to?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a short story.
Okay. And then they turned it into a feature length.
So, not exactly Game of Thrones.
Not exactly Game of Thrones.
Is it in the connected universe?
No, it's vastly.
It's not Dunkin' an Egg.
No.
This isn't somewhere in Westeros.
It's not Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which is coming out. It looks bad, but.
It looked bad. And then seeing reviews and everything. And I actually got an offer. It was like, if you get a ticket, you can get a free ticket to In the Lost Lands or something like that. And I was like, I'm good. Thank you, but no. I appreciate it. But that's one of the few wide releases this weekend.
So the tag is, a witch travels to the Lost Lands in search of a magical power that allows a person to transform into a werewolf.
Werewolf?
What do you think, Sean?
You know what? You said wide release?
No. Yeah, it's a wide release. I'm there's screenings for this movie.
No, I'll be watching Running Point all weekend.
He's got other things to do.
He's got
to
binge it. I understand. Yeah. Yeah.
It's 10 episodes. I'll watch the trailer of In the Lost Lands, and it'll determine if I...
Oh, you haven't seen the trailer
yet?
No, I've seen the trailer.
When it pops up...
You've seen the trailer?
Yeah. When it pops up in a week on streaming...
It almost looks like a fake trailer from... Tropic Thunder.
That is such an apt depiction of it.
I'm not bothered by that, to be honest with you.
I'm not bothered by it either.
We'll see.
I'm just like, man, but
I have not seen it. I did not. I'm going to be. The problem is, I'm going to watch the trailer and get really mad that this is what George R. R. Martin's up to.
What? He's been.
Was the short story reviewed well? Then that's why they turned it into
maybe.
A movie?
I don't know in really too much about the short story. In The Lost Lands. Maybe skip that.
Maybe
I'm curious
skip
your
that.
Thoughts on the trailer, though.
All right.
Mickey 17. Now, that's a wide release that I'm excited for.
There we go.
I've been excited for it for a long time.
Pattinson Hive.
It was on my, like, on Comic-Cast, we do like our most anticipated movies and stuff. It was on my list last year. Then it got delayed. It's on my list again. Thankfully, it's not delayed. It comes out this weekend, starring Robert Pattinson, Steven Yeun, directed by Bong Joon-ho, who did Parasite and Snowpiercer and all that. So,
and Smart Hulk is in it. Well, he's
Mark Ruffalo is
the actor.
Mark Ruffalo.
Tony Collette is in it. Naomi Ackie is in it. It's a strong cast, and it's about 80% with both critics and audiences. It's a comedy sci-fi based off a book called Mickey 7 that came out in 2022. It's sci-fi. I'm all about it. It looks good. Robert Pattinson's performance is very interesting so far, based off clips and trailers. So that's my most anticipated movie.
And it's not a spoiler unless you have not watched the trailer. I apologize, but the basis of it is basically Robert Pattinson is playing a disposable person.
Yeah, called an expendable.
He's an expendable
not
employee.
Not to be confused with the
The legendary movie series.
Yeah, not to be confused with that one.
Sly Stallone didn't hit him with a cease and desist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch it. Bong Joon-ho. But he plays kind of a disposable person working for a corporation, and he does dangerous jobs, and once he dies, another one takes his place.
Yeah, they just can print out a new one.
Yeah,
basically. Hence the number.
Yes.
Mickey 7, Mickey 17.
Until, I guess, one of them does not die, and things run amok. So we will see how that plays out.
And it's very satirical in its depiction of just humanity in general. So I like Bong Joon-ho, so I definitely want to watch it.
The director of Parasite.
Exactly. And for folks that – this is weird. This is a family movie that I have not heard one word about called Night of the Zoopocalypse, starring David Harbour. Had no idea this was coming out. It's getting solid reviews so far. Actually, 100% right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
Animated film.
So if you want to take the family out, there's that. And then Queen of the Ring, which is the other big wide release this weekend, starring Emily Bette Richards, Josh Lucas, and Walton Goggins.
Felicity from Arrow. If you watched Arrow, she was, turned into Oliver Queen's love interest and eventually wife. I guess, I don't know if they got married, but they were together for a long time. But she, I did not know, I saw her promote this on her social media. I did not know this was a movie. I thought, hey, this is another thing, small release thing. I did not know it was getting this type of a release.
Yeah, it's a wide release. It's based off the true life of Mildred Burke, the legendary professional wrestler and single mom who defied odds and became the first female athlete in history to be $1 million or get paid $1 million.
Michael's like, you think Running Point is a thing you can rip me on? Look at me promoting.
Hey, look, I support, okay? God.
Get off my case.
Sheesh. Anyway.
Performative.
All right. I will pull this segment over real quick.
Don't make me come back there.
Don't make me come into that studio. But yeah, that's the wide releases this weekend. Mickey 17 is probably my pick.
And Deborah Ann Woll, who is also in Daredevil Born Again, is in this movie as well.
Exactly. So streaming-wise, of course, we talked about it, Daredevil Born Again. The first two episodes are out right now. New episodes premiere every Tuesday. Deli Boys is premiering on Hulu or just premiered on Hulu.
Feels like a nickname Raheel would have called me.
It does. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I'm pretty sure he has done it, to be honest.
You go get a sandwich one time? Yeah.
I wish it was based off a sandwich.
I mean, it's based off a deli store.
Just based off my name. It's not even a creative enough that I just am a sandwich person. Just based off my name.
Double entendre.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how.
But
I won't. Don't worry.
Deli Boys, currently 94%. All 10 episodes are streaming on Hulu right now. It's a comedy starring Asif Ali and Sagar Shaki. I butchered those names. I apologize. Pakistani-American brothers who, upon their father's death, learned that he was a criminal, in fact, and his whole business empire was run in the underworld of the criminal nature. And they are trying to put themselves in that, like trying to learn, like, how do we handle this news, but also how are we going to follow in his footsteps because they are just spoiled rich kids. It's really funny.
Fredo and Sonny try to take over for Vito Corleone.
Exactly, but they are complete misfits at what they do. So, but Deli Boys is very good so far. It's on Hulu. There's also Dark Wind season 3 premieres on AMC Plus.
I like that show. I'm behind. I'm still in season 2, but that season 1 I enjoyed quite a bit.
It kind of caught new life when it premiered on Netflix too long ago.
Yeah, that'll happen from time to time.
And it's actually just got renewed for a season 4.
Okay.
So it's locked in. So Dark Winds, that's premiering Sunday. The first episode premieres Sunday at 2 a.m. on AMC Plus, so whenever you wake up, you can catch it. Of course, Righteous Gemstones is out there for people. Heretic on Max is coming out this weekend.
I enjoyed that movie. Pretty good.
And Chaos, the Manson Murders, this new documentary that is out about Charles Manson. It's getting pretty solid reviews so far. And it's based off another book that came out after the Helter Skelter book that kind of puts that book in a new light because of certain things that were embellished or manipulated in that book.
Gotcha.
So there you go.
So that's Michael Carroll giving you what you should watch and really to start the segment, what you shouldn't watch at all.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, The Pit, episode 10 just released. So good. So good.
The Pit on one end of the spectrum for Michael, Running Point on the opposite end.
Exactly.
Spectrum, as far as things that he finds watchable. You can listen to Michael give his review, his full-on review of the first two episodes of Daredevil Born Again on his podcast. He hosts that with Jong Lee. It's called Comicast. You can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts. And, of course, if you happen to be listening to us on a Wednesday, you can hear Comicast from 8 to 9 on Wednesday here on ESPN 97.5. We are done for the day. Thank you, Michael, for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again next week. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.